Now, Western culture is part of world culture, and culture itself is part of social and public life. In other words, culture is part of the world, part of what Buddhism calls the samsara. What then is the FWBU's attitude towards the world? How does it relate or not relate to the world? And once again, we find the FWBU following the middle way. Once again, we find it avoiding too extreme views or too extreme attitudes. And this time, I'm not going to try to find special terms for these extremes, simply going to describe them. The first extreme consists in accepting the world on its own terms. It consists in immersing ourselves in the world, immersing ourselves in the existing social, political, and economic order, even in the existing cultural and religious order. And here we experience ourselves. In this case, we experience ourselves as wholly belonging to the world, as being part of the world, with nothing left over, so to speak, nothing left over for ourselves as individuals. Indeed, there is no self, that is to say, no self-conscious, responsible, autonomous individual. We are simply a member of the group, whether the group is smaller or larger. We don't really question the values of the group, don't really question the values of the world. The second extreme is, of course, the exact opposite of the first. Here, we reject the world. We not only reject it, we try to get away from it, to escape from it, at least to some extent, at least for the time being. And different people try to escape in different ways, into different things. Some try to escape into rural life, into the countryside. That was the dream of the 60s, to get away to that beautiful little stone cottage in Wales and have wood fires and smoke and grow your own food and make your own shoes and weave your own cloth. So escape into the countryside, into wet Wales. Others escape into mystical or aesthetic experience, as did the hero of Tennyson's poem, The Palace of Art. Others again escape into dreams, including daydreams, into fantasies, and even into madness. In one way or another, they do their best to ignore the world, to wipe out the world, as it were, so far as they are concerned. But though they do their best to ignore the world, usually, of course, the world refuses to ignore them. But that is another story, often quite a sad story. So how does the FWBO avoid these two extremes? What is the FWBO's attitude towards the world? In what way does the FWBO, in what way do we follow the middle way where the world is concerned? The answer is very simple. The answer is to be found in a single word, and that word is transformation. The FWBO's attitude is that it wants to transform the world. It does not accept it on its own terms. At the same time, it does not reject it or try to escape from it. In the long run, indeed, of course, it's impossible to escape from the world. The FWBO therefore seeks to bring the world more and more under the influence of those moral and spiritual principles that are signified by the word dharma. It tries to bring the world more and more under the influence of what we come to refer to as the golden light. In other words, the FWBO seeks to create a new society, a society which is conducive to the spiritual development of the individual in the fullest sense of the term. As I mentioned at the beginning, the nucleus of that society is to be found in the FWBO centres, spiritual communities and team-based right livelihood projects or businesses that have sprung up in different parts of the world in the course of the last 20 years. In this respect too, therefore, we can speak of 20 years on the Middle Way.